Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and a beautiful day in the Northeast. I woke up this morning and the water was calm, and water temperature was very, very tolerable, and I jumped in and took a nice long swim, and then dried off, had breakfast, and then as I prepared for the show, I watched the Tour de France. You know, all those lunatic bike riders riding through, today was stage 8 of the Tour de France, and they're riding up, the 6-8 degree inclines, up steep hills, in the pouring rain with temperatures ranging in the 50s in the Vosges Mountains of France. Oh, and it was just today was just a 156 mile ride, something like that. And now I'm here, relaxed, sharing information with you. It's great. 888-302-3684. We'd love to hear from you. This hour, we're going to answer the question. You know, so often your doctor will, you ask, well, what can I do to prevent heart disease? Your doctor will say, well, typically eat a low-fat diet, exercise, lose weight, and drink a glass of wine every day, or, have some booze to protect your heart. Is it true that alcohol protects the heart? A new study weighs in on that subject. Share that with you in just a moment. 888-302-3684. And I like to start the show with this item, because this item is just a perfect illustration of how we can get it wrong in medicine. Headline from The Guardian, which is one of England's most prestigious newspapers. It's it's a little like the New York Times of England, very progressive, intellectual paper. And the headline is, statins could help reduce women's risk of breast cancer. And I'm talking about statin drugs, the cholesterol drugs. Lowering cholesterol with statin drugs could help prevent breast cancer, research suggests. A study of more than 600,000 British women found that the risk of breast cancer was almost doubled in those with abnormally high levels of blood fats. So they conclude from the study, and here's where the logical fallacy enters in. They conclude that because women with high cholesterol get breast cancer at a higher rate, that therefore using statins to lower the cholesterol is going to be brilliant, as the Brits might say. Brilliant. The researcher who presented this: we have a general principle that obesity is linked to breast cancer, and a study in mice suggested that this may be because of cholesterol. What? I don't get it. Does cholesterol cause obesity, or is high cholesterol a facet of obesity? I mean, often folks who are overweight and fat, they have metabolic syndrome that drives their cholesterol and triglycerides up, and they have a poor ratio of cholesterol to HDL. And yeah, that is, cholesterol is a feature of obesity, but is it the cause of breast cancer? What a dumb idea. Oh, here they go. Statins are cheap, widely available, and relatively safe. We're potentially heading towards a clinical trial in 10 to 15 years to test the effects of statins on the incidence of breast cancer. If such a trial is successful, statins may have a role in the prevention of breast cancer, especially in high-risk groups, such as women with high cholesterol. Okay. So here we are. We're off to the races. Yet another reason to take statin drugs. But in a populace that is probably, they'd like to sell more statin drugs to, because women with high cholesterol have a notoriously low benefit from statin drugs. I mean, it's not that women don't get heart disease, but high cholesterol in women is often absolutely not associated with cardiovascular risk. I see it again and again in my practice. I test women with very high cholesterol. We look for carotid artery plaque. We do the EBT heart scan. We see very little in the way of plaque. All right. And finally, they say yes, the cholesterol may be associated with weight, so we need to do more research. All right. also in just recently. Long-term use of statins and postmenopausal breast cancer risk. This is a study. It was actually done last year. It says here that 25% of U.S. women over the age of 45 currently use statins to prevent stroke and heart disease. I think that that may be unfortunate. Not that there aren't instances where women have very severe pronounced heart disease and they may really need statins. I'm not one of these holistic doctors who decry the use of statins under any circumstances. They're there for a reason, and under certain select circumstances, people get protection from statins. But 25% of U.S. women over the age of 45 currently use statins. That's a great business model, isn't it? If you're an investor in the pharmaceutical industry, think about that. All right, here's what they found. Women who reported using statins for the past 10 or more years had an 83% higher risk of invasive ductal breast cancer and a doubled risk of invasive lobular breast cancer compared to women who had never used statins. So, okay, that's a big caution flag about the use of statins to artificially lower cholesterol. It's not the cholesterol that causes the breast cancer. It's just that women who are overweight might have a higher risk of breast cancer because of the effects of insulin and the effects of excess body fat as a cancer inducer. It's not the cholesterol. So the researchers say here, we need to do additional research in order to determine whether the excess risk of breast cancer could outweigh the benefits of statins for lowering cholesterol and reducing cardiovascular disease risk in some women. In other words, if there's little risk of cardiovascular disease, why take a statin, which, oh, by the way, now contains black box warnings that it could increase the risk of diabetes, especially in women. So taking a statin, cholesterol's high, very little risk of cardiovascular disease. Your doctor says take a statin. Increases your risk of diabetes, increases your risk of breast cancer. Doesn't sound good to me. All right, 888-302-3684. Let's take a call. This call is apropos. Jane from Martinsville, New Jersey, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for taking my call. I'm 73, and I have cholesterol total of 275, LDL 170, and HDL 88. And I have
congratulations. Congratulations to you. I mean, you're in marvelous condition. Hey, you figured out what you're going to do in the next 30 years of your life?
Well,
you're 73 now.
And I walk a lot, and I plan to live for a long time.
Okay, so what's the problem?
I have no problems like diabetes or even a family history of heart disease.
Right.
So my doctor thinks I should take a statin to prevent stroke or heart attack.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like, you know, get in your car and, you know, you get on the road and you put on your seatbelt, right? Sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
Yes.
Does it sound reasonable to you, though?
Well, no, because the only risk factor I have is the cholesterol and my age. That's what the doctor said.
Exactly. And that's precisely why you should not. I mean, look, I don't generally dispense definitive medical advice on this program about don't take that drug. But there's no way in hell that you should be taking that drug. You know, look, the tiebreaker, and this is sometimes something that I do with patients, is, you know, if you're really, you got a doctor who's really on your case, I'll run an EBT heart scan. And, you know, 6 ways to Sunday, I'll find an EBT heart scan showing zero or minimal trace plaque in women who are septuagenarians, octogenarians, who have very high cholesterol, sometimes over 300, but with an HDL of what, 88, did you say? Was it 88, Jane?
88, yes.
Yeah, that's very protective against cardiovascular disease. And so if you don't have any of the risk factors, you don't have, you know, hypertension, and you're not obese, and you haven't. See, look, these drugs were designed. So these drugs were designed actually not for what's called primary prevention, which means preventing something from happening in the first place. They're designed more for what's called secondary prevention, which means after you've had a heart attack, after you've had a stroke, after you've had bypass surgery or a stent, These drugs actually have been shown to provide a little margin of protection, not bulletproof protection, but some degree of protection. So, yeah, okay, maybe their use is warranted. But for primary prevention, the evidence is weak, and it's especially weak in women, and it's especially weak in folks over the age of 75. And so several reasons why you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, look, this we just illustrated my point. Doctors are practicing paint-by-numbers medicine. You know, like when you're a kid, you got one of those paint-by-numbers set. You know, you two can paint like Michelangelo. And if you just put the paint in the right, you know, the number system there. And that's not how we should practice medicine. We should use, you know, like a more sensible, rational approach to preventing problems. You're on the right track. Stick to your guns. You don't go on a statin. Wrong choice. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I want to give a shout out to our new affiliate. We're always happy to add new radio stations to our national lineup. WEMJ AM in the Concord Lakes region of New Hampshire has joined our lineup, and the show airs Sundays from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's rebroadcast, and we're happy to have y'all aboard up there in Concord, New Hampshire. All right, let's take a call from Will. By the way, our number, 888-302-3684. If you cannot get on today, if you're too busy or if you don't, we don't take your call, you can email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. Now, we won't answer every question individually, but we will select certain questions to be answered on our podcast, our weekly Q&A with Layla, where we field listener questions, and we'll be happy to tackle your question at radioprogram@AOL.com. So send us your questions. They'll be fodder for our weekly podcast, which you can access at drhoffman.com. Always great information there. All right, let's talk to Will on the Upper West Side of New York. Hey, Will, how you doing? You still live on the Upper West Side of New York.
All right.
I went to Columbia College up there on the Upper West West Side of New York. So I'm an old West Sider.
Below that.
Oh, cool neighborhood.
Okay, my question is: there was a recent announcement on the radio, the 24-hour talk radio, WINS, WCBS, saying that there was one study that said resveratrol was invalid. It does nothing.
Yeah, and let me speak to that study, because there was a study, and it got a lot of play. I mean, oh, so much play. But, you know, this is a little bit the way that the press works, because remember, the resveratrol thing got started, way back, I think it was in the 1980s, and he had this guy, Morley Safer, who went to France, and he was filmed sitting at a table in a cafe with, you know, a Czech tablecloth with a nice glass of red wine in front of him with a French waiter and folks in berets standing around, very, you know, well-staged feature. And he was tilting the glass and talking about the benefits of red wine. And then they were talking about resveratrol research, resveratrol being that substance that imparts the flavor and color to red wine, a polyphenol substance that's present in nature. And then that's where it took off, the heart hypothesis that resveratrol had a protective effect. If you drank a lot of red wine, that was going to be good for you. Well, okay, so fast forward to 2014, they came out with a study, which I believe was done in Italy, where they looked at consumption of alcohol, of red wine in a region of Italy, and they found that, lo and behold, it wasn't protective against heart disease, that there was a somewhat higher risk of heart disease, and, oh, they measured the content of the resveratrol in the wine, and they inferred, no, the wine consumption containing resveratrol is not protective to the heart, and therefore, ergo, resveratrol is not helpful. Well, the problem with that study is that they gave red wine containing resveratrol to, they just observed people who drank more or less wine. And, you know, one of the phenomena that occurs, and we're going to discuss it in just a minute here, is that, you know, you drink too much alcohol, alcohol may not be protective to the heart. I mean, we used to think that alcohol was preventive against heart disease. But in a few moments, I'm going to blow your mind because there's a new study that says, oh, no, alcohol, au contraire, alcohol is not protective. So what they were measuring was they should have said, you know, drinking lots of wine doesn't turn out to be protective against heart disease. That's what the study, the headline should have been. Not that resveratrol is the problem. Now, if you isolate resveratrol, resveratrol may very well have an anti-aging effect, an anti-Alzheimer's effect, a weight loss effect. It may extend telomeres, which is a longevity effect. It may have an effect that mimics the effects of starvation. Starvation and calorie restrictions have actually been shown to prolong life. And the sirtuins that are in resveratrol have actually been shown to replicate that effect. So it's kind of like, oh, hey, what a drag it is to fast and starve, but, oh, take some resveratrol pills and you'll actually get some of the benefits of that. That has been the premise upon which GlaxoSmithKline paid $700 million to acquire a laboratory that is studying resveratrol with potential that resveratrol could be developed into a profitable drug. For heart disease, for stroke prevention and Alzheimer's prevention, and, you know, as a sort of a panacea-like substance that can prevent cellular aging and reverse disease. So that study, I can't say that study is going to, you know, put the lie to the resveratrol hypothesis. It's more about the consumption of wine. And when we return, we're going to talk a little bit about the alcohol heart disease connection. And oh, by the way, if you're interested in resveratrol, we talk about it in our newsletter article this week, 18 substances that can slow the progression of Alzheimer's. And you can check it out at drhoffman.com. And that's our featured article this week. And we talk about 18 different natural products that you can use to preserve your brain function. And we also have a great podcast on that subject at drhoffman.com, so check it out. All right, 888-302-3684. We got more questions, and we'll resolve the controversy about alcohol and heart disease in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. What's coming up is a perfect illustration of why you must listen to Intelligent Medicine on a regular basis because things keep changing in medicine and nutrition. And you need to keep up. I mean, it's very challenging for me to keep up. I read all the studies, keep track of all the news reports, and it is still very, very challenging to stay on top of all this conflicting information. All right, I'm going to read to you first an article from Science Daily, a reputable source of health information, dated February 23, 2011. That would be about 3.5 years ago. Headline, drinking alcohol in moderation protects against heart disease, meta-analysis finds. Okay, these researchers from the University of Calgary reviewed 84 studies of alcohol consumption and heart disease. That's pretty good. 84 studies. Oh, and then, by the way, another group reviewed 63 studies. So that's a lot of studies. The researchers conclude that individuals who drink alcohol in moderation, you've heard that term moderation. Haven't you heard that from your doctor? It's like, drink in moderation. You'll even go to the cardiologist. What can I do to prevent cardiovascular disease? Well, of course, they'll give you the wrong answer. They'll say, eat a low-fat diet. All right, that's wrong. Bzz, wrong. They'll say, maintain a healthy weight. Okay, good. They'll say, exercise. Okay, good. And then they'll say, you know, have a couple of glasses of wine every day. They say individuals who drink alcohol in moderation, about one drink a day, are 14 to 25% less likely to develop heart disease compared to those who drink no alcohol at all. All right. That's as of February 23, 2011. Fast forward to this week. Same publication. Science Daily. Your source for the latest research news. Headline. Drinking alcohol provides no heart health benefit. I repeat, drinking alcohol provides no heart health benefit. So what's up with that? All right, a new study in the British Medical Journal, also looking at numerous studies, they reviewed evidence from more than 50 studies that link drinking habits and cardiovascular health for over 260,000 people. And what they found is that researchers discovered that those who consume less alcohol have superior cardiovascular health records. Those who consume 17% less alcohol per week have on average a 10% reduced risk of coronary heart disease. They have lower blood pressure and they have a lower body mass index. So, the lead researcher is quoted as saying, for some time, observational studies have suggested that only heavy drinking was detrimental to cardiovascular health. Well, everybody agrees, heavy drinking, that's not good. Moderate drinking, that's good. So he says, for some time, observational studies have suggested that only heavy drinking was detrimental to cardiovascular health and that light consumption may actually be beneficial. This has led some people to drink moderately. They're going to take up the habit. They weren't drinking. They're going to start drinking because they think it's healthy, based on the belief that it would lower their risk of heart disease. However, what we're seeing with this new study, which uses an investigative approach similar to a randomized clinical trial, which is the best type of research, is that reduced consumption of alcohol, even for light to moderate drinkers, may lead to improved cardiovascular health. So if you're confused, I don't blame you, so am I. This is a perfect example of how different researchers using different approaches can come up with diametrically opposed conclusions about simple dietary principles. We've seen this happen with, I'll give you several examples, coffee. Coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you. Latest studies say it's good for you. Drink as much coffee as you want. No heart disease risk. Some studies say artificial sweeteners, NutraSweet and the like. Fantastic. Help weight loss, good for diabetics. Other studies say, au contraire, they cause people to not only not lose weight, but gain weight. So they're counterproductive. And on it goes. These controversies, which try to help us resolve simple questions about what should we do, what should we eat, are rife with problems. And I'm still convinced that there may be a slight preventive effect of alcohol consumption. But different strokes for different folks. For some people, alcohol utterly disastrous. Not only can it lead to alcoholism, accidents, falls, all manner of problems, but it also loosens people's inhibitions and they eat more and they put on the feed bag. I mean, restaurant owners know this. That's why the first thing they ask you when you sit down to eat is, would you like a drink? Because they know that's going to relax you, loosen your inhibitions, your restraint will wane, and you'll order more food, which is to the good for the restaurant establishment. All right. 888-302-3684. We're going to forge ahead answering your questions in just a moment.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, and Ken is from Rockport, Missouri. You're next.
Oh, yeah, thank you for taking my call. Me and my cousin, we've been on this, flaxseed oil and vitamin E, years ago, and not all at once, just separate stuff, trying this and that,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And our prostate count went up, way up. I even had stress.
Mm-hmm.
And we quit all that stuff.
Wait. You had stress?
Yeah, I even had a little stress from it.
You had stress from taking flaxseed?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
I kind of doubt that. I think stress is kind of one of those things that just kind of happens. Like stress happens.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's going to be caused by the flaxseed.
With age, he's 69 now. He's 68 and I'm 69. But
so you're inquiring about the connection between flaxseed oil consumption and prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Or,
mm-hmm. And okay. Well, it's been over a year, and his was up around 6, and it's way down to 4, I think, now, and then going down, and mine was about 4, and then mine's down to 2, and this has been over a year, and I ain't had no problem since.
Okay, so that's interesting. Let's talk to that issue. Personally, I'm going to say straight out that I think that's coincidental. Although, there's a tendency for people to want explanation and closure about phenomena that are unexplained. That's why You know, in ancient times, you know, people looked at the stars and they saw the gods and the chariots and, you know, the, you know, constellations had meaning, and that their lives were guided by powerful forces that were invisible and unseen. And now, you know, we may attribute this or that or the other health misfortune to taking one or another supplement. You know, there is some evidence, and this is, you know, you may be referring to a study that appeared many years ago. I think it must have been about 10 years ago, that showed that upon biopsying the prostates of men who had prostate cancer, their level of something called ALA, which is the type of fatty acid that was found in flax oil, was higher. Now, that's an interesting hypothesis. Could flaxseed oil or ALA cause prostate cancer? And it doesn't necessarily follow from the fact that there's a higher level in the prostate of the men who had prostate cancer that the flaxseed oil was the cause of their prostate cancer. It just may mean that there may be a tissue condition that causes levels of that to appear or more to be absorbed into the prostate tissue. So the correlation is not causation in this case. There are no studies that show that, for example, nut consumption is associated with higher incidence of prostate cancer. In fact, I think studies generally show that nuts, which are rich in ALA, the main fatty acid that's present in flax oil, is preventive against prostate cancer. And in fact, the flax lignans, which actually I prefer, I don't really like to prescribe flaxseed oil these days, because I think if you want the omega-3s, don't get them from plant sources, get them from fish oil sources. But the flax lignans themselves actually have a preventive effect against both breast cancer and prostate cancer. That's been pretty much shown. So what I think you're seeing, I mean, look, it's like, boy, this is a big study here. It's like two for two. You and your brother, you were taking flax oil, your PSAs went up, and then they went down when you stopped. Well, that's intriguing, but I really don't think that there's a causation there. Also, aspersions have been cast on fish oil by a big study out of Seattle. And that study suggested that blood levels of fish oil were associated with a higher risk of prostate cancer. So this big headlines were, you know, fish oil is bad for prostate cancer. Well, no. That, again, was a study where many years ago they checked levels of EPA in the blood of certain men, and then they found that later they had a higher incidence of prostate cancer. But it didn't actually measure their actual consumption of fish oil products or fish, even fish. And so it was a terrible study, and it generated big headlines, created a lot of fear unnecessarily, and caused lots of men to abandon their omega-3s. When it comes to anxiety, I don't think flax or flaxseed oil is going to cause anxiety to get worse. In fact, there's some studies that show that the omega-3s, especially from fish oil, alleviate anxiety, that they actually may have an antidepressant and anti-anxiety effect. So you may be just experiencing the ravages of moving along as a male into your 60s, where PSAs may bounce around, and where anxiety may increase just as a process of aging. What I would say is it's good news that your PSA went up, but then it went down. That's less likely to be a sign of cancer. You know, what we're more concerned about, not so much higher or borderline levels of PSA, but the direction that they're going. If they're going up, 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 that's called PSA velocity. We just discovered prostate cancer in one of our patients at the Hoffman Center this week, whose PSA went up to 2.1. Well, that was a little concerned because it had been, you know, 0.5 before. So we said, well, you know, get checked out. Well, then his repeat PSA was 1.9. But the urologist felt a little bit of a lump on his prostate. And they said, well, even though your PSA is 2.1, you need to get a biopsy. And he had a biopsy. And lo and behold, he had, large segments of his prostate were involved with prostate cancer. And he's going to need his prostate treated. So PSA 2.1. went down to 1.9. Oh, no problem, right? No way you can have cancer? Well, think again, because PSA is an imperfect tool. Sometimes it's high, no problem. There's just an enlarged prostate. And sometimes it's not even that high, and prostate cancer is present. So, but I don't think it's the flax oil or the fish oil that you took that caused the problem. Very unlikely. Thanks for calling. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
For more Intelligent Medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'll conclude today's broadcast with a discussion of knee replacement surgery. Knee replacement surgery, big deal. And, you know, it's almost like knee replacement surgery is almost like braces in teenagers or acne medication. It's a common procedure for folks over a certain age. I mean, I even know people in their 50s and 60s are getting knee replacements. It's not for the old. It's, you know, a lot of middle-aged folks getting total knee replacements with artificial joints. And unfortunately, the earlier you have it done, the more likely that it'll wear out and you'll have to have a second procedure, and that doesn't work out well. So they, you know, you want to delay it as long as possible. Even doctors recognize this. But headline here, one-third of knee replacements in the U.S. may be inappropriate. Researchers examined a large series, 4,800 knee replacements, and they expected about 20% of surgeries would be inappropriate. But what they found was that fully 34% of patients had total knee replacements that were deemed to be inappropriate. Actually, only 44% were classified as appropriate. That left about 22% in the inconclusive category. And that's not good because it's expensive and it's invasive. And it doesn't always turn out perfect. You know, a lot of people hobbling around on knee replacement symptoms. Okay, one knee's fixed, then the other one starts to act up, or you get hip pain, you get back pain. Bottom line, doctors and patients need to do a better job deciding when it's the right time for a knee replacement. Yeah, and here's an interesting study that sheds light on what could be protective. You know, if you think of overweight as being an issue, and obviously when patients lose weight, it's helpful, but according to a new study, it's not just mechanical pressure on a joint that causes problems. The researchers looked at mice. Mice consuming a supplement of omega-3 fatty acids had healthier joints than those fed diets high in saturated fats or high in omega-6 fatty acids. They had three diets, high in saturated fat, high in omega-6, which comes from vegetable oils, and then a diet rich in omega-3 fish oil. And so the conclusion is it's not how much you gain, but what you eat. Dietary factors play a more significant role than mechanical factors in the link between obesity and osteoarthritis, according to these authors. And I say less knee replacements. Let's think of natural products like fish oil and niacinamide and products like Caprex. You can look it up at drhoffman.com. We have a Google search feature on our website. Google Caprex, K-A-P-R-E-X. It's one of our products. Natural hops extract, very helpful for osteoarthritis. Boswellin, curcumin. These are some of the things that help. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.